The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today on the phone with me, I'm very, very proud and very excited to say that as my guest, I have Dr. Bill Dorfman. Dr. Dorfman is the dentist that you all saw do the dentistry on ABC's Extreme Makeover. Dr. Dorfman has written a book called The Billion Dollar Smile. He doesn't charge $1 billion for the smile. It's just it gives you the billion dollar smile. And is also very active in philanthropic endeavors. In fact, all of the proceeds of his book was donated to charity. We'll probably get a little bit more into that in a bit. Now, Dr. Dorfman, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And you know, one of the things in looking over your book that I'll tell you what, when I first started to read it, made me a little nervous because there's this section in here where you encourage people to go in and select their smile. Now, you know as well as I do that there are certain things we can and cannot do for people, and or maybe we shouldn't do, like obviously a man wouldn't want to have ovoid teeth because that's more feminine looking. And so I thought, uh-oh, you know, now where are we going with this? But then after reading the book, I quickly realized that in essence, you're just giving people this guide that they can say, hey, look, I like George Clooney's smile. I consider myself something like George Clooney, and can you make my teeth look, can you give me that smile? Or Matt Damon, or you know, for women, Jennifer Aniston, or Tyra Banks. And so I thought that was great, and you equated it to women who would, you know, take clippings out of a women's magazine to their hairdresser and say, I want Jennifer Aniston's hairstyle, for example. So I commend you for that, and could you explain, I mean, how did you come up with that?
Well, actually, in 1990, the very first book I wrote before Billion Dollar Smile was called The Smile Guide.
Yes.
And The Smile Guide is kind of a visual matching guide for patients to go in and pick the smile they want.
You have style numbers? These are the ones that are numbered, style number 15
right.
And 16,
right.
Okay.
And typically, you know, we think of men as having squarer, kind of more even teeth. That's a very masculine kind of look for us. Whereas for women, we tend to make the teeth a little more, as you said, ovoid or rounder. However, the thing about smiles and the thing about cosmetic dentistry is that, you know, this is elective, and people may have an image in their mind that's completely different than what we thought. I had a woman who came into my office who was a model and wanted to have very, very square and what we would typically classify as masculine teeth. And I said, no, no, no. She was 22 years old. She was young and beautiful and voluptuous. And I said, no, no, no. You really should have rounder, oval teeth. And she said, no, I want square teeth. I said, no, you need round teeth. She said, look, I have had everything on my body fixed. She had breast implants, she had liposuction, she did everything. And she was going to be a centerfold for Playboy magazine. And this was the last thing. And she said, look, I really want square teeth. I said, you know what? They're not really even going to be looking at your teeth. You should trust me and go with oval. Well, she didn't.
Okay.
So we ended up making her square teeth. And I got to be honest with you, she was amazing.
Really?
I mean, square, oval, you could have almost even extracted her teeth.
Right. It wasn't going to matter.
So,
huh?
Yeah, you really need to listen to the patient. And I think before you pick a cosmetic dentist, go and meet the dentist, interview the dentist, make sure that they have before and after pictures of cases that they did.
Right.
A lot of dentists can just buy pictures. So you want to make sure that these are, you know, patients they actually treated. Look through the pictures and make sure that you like the kind of dentistry that dentist does. Of course, today you can usually go online and see, you know, a lot of the before and afters before you even go into the office. But I think it's critical to meet the dentist and make sure that you feel like this is somebody you can work with.
You know, it's almost like you're the twin brother that I never had, because you say almost the exact same things as I have been saying to my patients and still do. And, you know, it's their mouth. It's what they want. Within reason, obviously, I'm not going to extract 32 perfectly healthy teeth because they think dentures are the way to go. But if they want a more pointed cusped, if they want a more rounded central, you know, it's pretty much up to them. Now, obviously, we do have ways of undoing some things if we've done it and they've changed their mind. But just like you, I do the snap-on smile or the trial smile, which I call it, where I actually do my own wax up, where I take the model, go home, alter it to what I think is going to make it look proper. What would, you know, what's going to really support their lips and fill out the buccal corridors, or the part that makes it seem like a wider smile, as you describe it. And then we put it in their mouth and take their photograph and show them the before and the after. That's when their eyes light up. That's when the light goes off in their head, where they realize, I'll be darned, you know, just closing the scab a little bit or rounding that tooth a little bit really does make a difference.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I love about doing the trial smile or the temporaries, is that the patient has a week to go home and look at what it is we're planning to do. And if there are things that the patient wants to alter, it's nice to know that before we get the permanent porcelain veneers or porcelain crowns back.
Right, right. I'm curious, what's the most common complaint people in Hollywood have about their smile?
I think the most common complaint everybody has is just color. Everybody wants bright white teeth. And, you know, zoom whitening has become the most common cosmetic dental procedure around today. I mean, everybody wants to have white teeth. You go to your dentist, you walk in, and in the dental office, they do the procedure, and in a little under an hour, your teeth get 8 shades whiter. I mean, what could be easier?
I know. Now, have you heard about, yeah, I think you have them out in L.A. also, these mall kiosks, these whitening salons that have popped up. We even have them in Sam's Club.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. If you're going to get your teeth whitened, you want to go to a dentist. You want to go to a real dentist in a real dental office, because teeth are not like hair. You know, you can go to the store and buy things to color your hair, and once in a while they work great, and sometimes they don't. But hair grows out.
Right.
You know, teeth don't. So if you're going to whiten your teeth, make sure you get it done professionally by a reputable dentist who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I can't agree more. They don't even have dental assistants at these places. They give them white jackets to wear. They have white chairs. Everything looks like a dental office, except there's no dentist, dental assistant, or dental hygienist in sight. And I think it's very deceiving to the public. And in fact, I think that they wind up actually spending more money at these kiosks and get less result than if they just came to a dentist.
I agree.
And I think it goes back to how sometimes you don't know if you can afford something until you find out. Like, how much is it going to be? I know I wanted a concrete driveway, and I was telling a patient, I said, oh, I'd love to have a concrete driveway, but I can't afford it. And they said, well, how much is a concrete driveway? I said, you know
exactly. What?
I never checked. I had no idea. So I got an estimate. And you know what? It wasn't that much more than the asphalt that I had. And so within about a year, I had a concrete driveway because I finally actually checked and got a price. And so it's probably the same thing with a person's teeth. We have a caller on the line, and I believe it's Nathan on line 5. Nathan, what's your question for Dr. Dorfman?
Hi, my name is Nathan. I'm from Columbus. And my answer for Dr. Kibitko's poll today is, I'm going to say 50%. And hi, Dr. Dorfman. This is Nathan.
Hello.
I just had a question for you. I'm going to be moving to L.A. in a couple of months, and I was just wondering if I could be a patient of yours.
I'm sorry, but Dr. Dorfman, go ahead. I was trying to be funny by saying absolutely not. You're not famous enough, are you?
No, absolutely. You can call my office at 310-277-5678, or you could go visit our website at extrememakeoverdentist.com to locate us. But, yeah, we love new patients. We take new patients, and You know, we are a full-service dental office. We don't just do cosmetic dentistry. We do everything.
And it actually is. That was a very good question because you get so busy with owning Discus Dental and this radio show that you're involved in and everything. I think it would be easy for people to assume that he's no longer able to even do dentistry. But as we all know, that's your love, your first love. And so I think it's important.
Absolutely.
And there's about 300 million people in the United States. And luckily for me, you don't have time to treat all of them, which leaves a few of them for me to take care of here in Central Ohio, right?
That's right.
Okay, let's see now. Here's a question from Sean from Grove City, and he writes, do I have to get my teeth cleaned before I get them whitened?
You know, ideally, it would be a good idea to get your teeth cleaned first. A lot of patients that haven't had their teeth cleaned and want to get their teeth whitened, we'll just schedule an appointment for both. So they'll come in, we'll clean their teeth, and they'll go right from the hygiene room downstairs. We have another clinic in my building, and then they get their teeth Zoom whitened. So you could pretty much do, both at one time.
Okay. And then I guess a follow-up question, which is came in here as an email, is are there any adverse effects to having your teeth whitened with Zoom? This is from Dee from Lewis Center.
Yeah, the only adverse effect, if you even want to call it that, is some people get sensitivity. The thing that you need to know as a patient is that sensitivity always goes away. So if you do get a little bit of sensitivity, don't worry about it. You could take a little bit of Motrin or aspirin. It will definitely go away.
Yeah, and that's been our experience, too. In fact, a lot of times we'll give people the Motrin prior to their whitening, kind of have it in their system, and then if they follow up, they're fine. And I know there was an entire issue of the Journal of the American Dental Association years ago dedicated to the topic was whiteners, are they safe? And every article in that journal issue was about whiteners, and not one article has ever been written to say that whiteners are damaging to teeth.
As long as you go to a dentist.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
See, people think that if you just go to the store and buy these over-the-counter products, they're safe, and that's not always true. So I encourage you that if you do want to whiten your teeth, as we said earlier, go to your dentist and have it done professionally, and that way it will be safe and effective.
That's a very good point because I did kind of mislead them into thinking that it says it's going to whiten my teeth, so I'll get it whether it's internet based or kiosk based or not. But not the case, and I have had to redo some treatments, some whitening for people who either we didn't whiten or they had this sensitivity, and so we go to school to receive all of this training, and we're out there trying to do right by patients and. I think that people are beginning to understand that and beginning to appreciate that. So, Dr. Dorfman, it's been a pleasure, very much a pleasure, having you on the show. Really appreciate your time. And if there's anything that I can ever do for you in the future, please let me know. Love to have you back as a guest somewhere down the line.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Brian.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Thanks for staying with us during the break. This morning we had Dr. Dorfman as our guest from Extreme Makeover fame, and I want to thank him again for getting up and being on the show with me today. However, I was so pleased and honored to have him on the show, I realized that I did not give out the question of the day at the beginning of the show, Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. Luckily for me, I had given it out last week, so I think Nathan might have been listening last week and knew what today's question was. But for the rest of you that either don't remember or didn't listen to last week's show, shame on you, by the way. But anyway, the question of the day today is, when a group of dentists were surveyed and asked whether cosmetic dentistry should be a board-certified specialty, what percent of dentists said yes? So how many dentists by percent think cosmetic dentistry should be a board-certified specialty? And of course, Many of you already know that it's not right now. Anybody is free to do cosmetic dentistry, which is why Dr. Dorfman was encouraging people to, you know, check out the dentist, make sure the pictures that you are being shown are that dentist's work, because there are pictures that are available for purchase, before and after pictures that were done by other dentists, and, you know, that would be, should be kind of a warning sign in your mind if your dentist that you're about to consider having do some cosmetic work does not have any of their own photos. You'd have to maybe be a little leery of that. At my office, the only pictures I show are pictures of patients that I've done, before and after pictures of real people done in my office, not in Hollywood or by Dr. Dorfman. Now, and your questions can be called in to 821-1230, and you can also send your guesses to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. So send us an email or give us a call, and of course your questions are welcome as well. All right, now, also before I go on, I realized again that I was so enamored by having Dr. Dorfman that I forgot to mention. You might remember that every week for several weeks I've been talking about the golf outing, the second annual Dr. Kvitko Golf Classic that we were holding to raise money for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. That did take place yesterday. And the grand prize for the raffle that we had and that people were able to call in and purchase tickets through my office was a continental breakfast, a back studio tour, and a chance to meet local radio personalities, Dino Tripodis and Sean Ireland. And the winner of that prize is a woman by the name of Gloria Humphreys. So I want to re-congratulate Gloria. She was actually at the golf outing and therefore able to get her prize firsthand. But I think that's going to be a lot of fun for her. And I want to thank my staff, my wonderful staff, who worked very, very hard to bring the golf outing to fruition. I'd like to thank the management of Broadview Golf Course in Pataskala. Very, very hospitable. Made it very easy for us to host this tournament. And all of the people that came. We had 11 groups, 44 people. Lots of fun, lots of food, and prizes. And we raised a good bit of money for the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association. The only thing is, I don't have that amount yet because my staff was still counting the money, and I didn't want to wake them up this morning and ask for a tally, so I'll probably give that at a future show down the road here. So it was a great, great time, and appreciate everybody's help. Now, I mentioned the Down Syndrome Association, and you may remember a previous show where I had Jennifer Truby, who is, I can't remember her title, executive director or something like that, of the Down Syndrome Association here. And I wanted to commend Jennifer. She wrote a letter to the editor that appeared in the Dispatch, the Columbus Dispatch, a couple, 3 days ago. And it was in response to the R word. And the R word as it applies to people that are somewhat developmentally challenged and who are being represented in a negative way in this newest movie with Ben Stiller. And it's a movie where they basically make fun of a lot of things. And Jennifer wrote a very thoughtful letter to the editor saying that we really shouldn't do that. We've spent lots of years trying to integrate people that are challenged in one way or another into our society, and using negative words are threatening to turn the clock back. And so I did read the letter to the editor, Jennifer. I thought it was great. Keep up the good work in working for the welfare and the benefit of the people that the Down Syndrome of Central Ohio serves. And I look forward to presenting you with a check when we come to the Buddy Walk. And Dr. Kvitko and Associates, we sponsor a patient of ours named Libby Turner, and we all have t-shirts, and we go and we walk, and this year it's at the Crew Stadium, and it's a great time to show your support. For those of you that are watching the Olympics, you'll see one of their commercials, a Coca-Cola commercial, actually, and where they talk about if you've bought a Coke, you've been involved in supporting not only the regular Olympics, but the Special Olympics as well. And they show some of these kids with both fists, you know, pumping straight up in the air, their arms straight in celebration. And I just think that's such a heartwarming picture. I just love watching that commercial. And I commend Coca-Cola for being involved in that way. So, anyway, remember, our phone number is 821-1230. And you can send us an email to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. And we do have to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll have some guesses for our question of the day. And we'll also talk a little bit more about what is cosmetic dentistry and what does it take to have a makeover. So you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but Were Too Numb to Ask. Good morning, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Thank you for joining me this morning. This morning we started off the show by talking to Dr. Bill Dorfman of Extreme Makeover fame. And now we're going to continue the conversation about cosmetic dentistry, just here on our own and with any listener call-in questions and emails. We did have an emailed guess of our question of the day, and let me reiterate that question of the day. And it's basically this: when a group of dentists were surveyed and asked whether cosmetic dentistry should be a board-certified specialty, how many of them said yes by percentage? What percent said yes? And Joanne emailed us a guess of 33% or a third. That is not correct. So we've had a couple guesses so far, 50% from Nathan, 33% from Joanne. And so let's get on to the topic. And here's a question that is often asked, and it says, the most common complaint associated with crowns is that they look opaque, lifeless, and fake. So the question is, do I need an extreme makeover, and why do my crowns look fake? Well, the answer to that question is no, you don't need an extreme makeover. Basically, what you need is your crowns replaced, because how a crown reacts with light is very much a function of how lifelike it looks. So, see, natural teeth have a high degree of translucency, and that lets a certain amount of light pass through, and that makes teeth look, you know, like they have depth and vital and alive and like glass. And old-style crowns, where they had a metal substructure, that metal had to be hidden, and the way it was hidden was with an opaque layer covering the metal first, and then porcelain added over to that. Well, up at the gum line, where everything has to kind of get thin and kind of basically thin out to nothing, you would have this opaque layer showing through the regular porcelain. So, if your crowns do not look lifelike, if you can see either a metal line or a dark line, or you can see what looks like a chalkiness, then it's simply a matter of getting your crowns redone. So don't be afraid to, let's say, have new crowns, because I think some people, I know this because they've told me, they didn't like their smile, they didn't like their crowns, but they were afraid to get new ones because they thought they'd look the same. And the reality is no, if the crowns that are made are all ceramic, all porcelain, a couple brand names that come to mind are Procera and Lava. But even the crowns that have the metal substructure, there are ways to make them look better, look more lifelike. And that's by doing what's called a porcelain butt joint, B-U-T-T joint. And so what that is right at the gum line edge of a tooth, the metal is kind of trimmed away and held back away from the end of the tooth so that it doesn't have to be hidden with opaque. And then that last millimeter or so, maybe millimeter and a half, is strictly porcelain. So you have the strength of a metal substructure, which of course you need in some cases, without the fake-looking line that you get when you are talking about the way these old crowns looked lifeless. I mean, to me, cosmetic dentistry is being able to smile and having people not even know you've had dentistry done. You should just be able to smile and go about your business. And as much as I like compliments, to me, the biggest compliment you would receive by a friend or family member after having me do your cosmetic dentistry would be that they didn't know you'd had cosmetic dentistry done. So what I would like to know is that I'd like to see a situation where you leave the office, we've done a makeover, or several crowns, and people, your friends and family, just say, you know, there's something different. Did you do your hair? Did you get tanned? Are you doing your makeup different? Or even just comments from maybe total strangers when you're out and about saying, you know, you've got a great smile. At no time would I want a stranger to come up to you and say, you've got some great veneers, or those are great crowns. Who did them? You know what I mean? If you happen to want to mention to them that they were done by Dr. Kavitko, certainly wouldn't mind that, because I'm very proud of the work that I do. But that's not the focus. The focus is to just have people start looking at your new beautiful smile and treating you in the way that you treat people that you know, just glow when they speak and glow when they smile. So then just keep that in mind. You have these old crowns and they look lifeless and they can be corrected. And you don't need an entire smile makeover to do that. And a lot of people have like a one or two front teeth where maybe they fell when they were a kid. And by the way, I've noticed that age 9 seems to be a very, very vulnerable age. More often than not, when I ask a patient who has a broken tooth, a tooth that broke when they were younger, how old they were when it happened, they almost always say age 9. It's almost like we should put 9-year-olds in a rubber room in a straitjacket and not let them out until they're 10 or something. So do be careful with that. If you have a 9-year-old, you know, kind of watch them and try not to let them get themselves in situations where they're going to, you know, fall and hurt their teeth or whatever. It just seems to happen. I don't know. Maybe they're clumsy at age 9. I'm not sure. Now, there are some teeth that even with no metal underneath the crown are a little hard to mask. Some people have this dark grayish looking teeth, these grayish looking teeth. Typically those have been stained with tetracycline taken as either a young child, an infant, or still in utero. And what that does is the molecules of the antibiotic, which is what tetracycline is, get incorporated into the makeup of the teeth as they are forming, and so the teeth actually grow to be this pinkish gray all throughout. And when we trim these teeth down for crowns or veneers, they get even darker because we've taken off the outer enamel layer to do so. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Remember, our phone number is 821-1230, and you can send us an email to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. We will be right back after the break. Good morning. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. And I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And think about it. You're in the chair. You know, the dentist asks you all these questions. And I like to tease my patients a lot. And I usually wait till they get them all nice and numb. Get my hands, my assistant's hands in their mouth, the suction, the dental handpiece, also known as the drill, and then we ask them questions like, so, what do you think of the world situation? And it's kind of funny to watch them try to answer, and yes, we do have fun, but anyway, all right, so we were talking about the tetracycline staining and the challenges that it creates for those of us that do this cosmetic dentistry, and, you know, you might be wondering why we don't always use crowns that have none of the metal in them. And this is one instance where in some people it's very difficult to mask that gray color. And so with a tetracycline patient, a dentist may choose to use the metal foundation and maybe those porcelain butt joints that I was describing. I recently had a patient who had one front tooth that needed done. I always encourage my patients to do them in pairs. Money was an issue, as you can imagine. And so we were kind of locked into just trying to do it with one tooth. And honestly, it took us 3 tries to get this right, because we would make the crown. It would look good. We'd set it on her tooth, look good, put it on with temporary cement, look good, go to put it on with the permanent cement, and it would look bad. because the permanent cement was a different color than the temporary cement, and that little bit of color showing through was the key to making this look right. And she had this very, very, I don't know, ugly crown. I mean, the crown itself was fine, but you could see right through it, so you could see her gray tooth. And she had a relatively new crown that made her not want to smile. It fit well, fit the clinical requirements of a crown, but certainly not what she had in mind. And she was a young, attractive girl, and, you know, she needed to be able to have this pretty smile. So, tetracycline. And keep this in mind, because if you're pregnant, you're about to get pregnant, or you have an infant, do not let a physician give you or your baby tetracycline. There are other drugs. Most physicians know this these days, but there are still a few that don't, or they're in the heat of the moment, and they're not thinking, and they will prescribe tetracycline, and then that dooms a person to, when they become an adult, or actually, whenever their adult teeth begin to come in at age 6, it dooms them to this life of these miserably looking dark pink gray teeth. All right. So, and the other reason that you would maybe not be able to use this all porcelain, these all porcelain crowns would be in cases of extreme bruxism, because if somebody is grinding their teeth, they may need the crowns that are more structurally sound, the ones with the metal foundation. So try to keep those things in mind, and also I think it's helpful for people to understand the challenges that we face as a dentist trying to cover this up. I know my patient now does, the one that I said took us 3 tries to do, because she would see it and say it looks great, and then we'd put it on with a little sampling of the cement, and she'd look in the mirror and say, it looks gray again, and she was right. So we did get it. Maybe that's one where I wished I had not gone with the all ceramic, but they do look more lifelike, and so whenever possible, that is what I want to do. Okay, now, Steve called in a question, not a question, but an answer to the question of the day, and the question of the day is, when a group of dentists were surveyed, what percent of them felt that cosmetic dentistry should be its own separate board-certified specialty? And Steve phoned in a guess of 62%, and so that is not correct. That's actually going in the wrong direction. You might remember our lowest guess so far was 33%. I'm going to go ahead and give the answer, and the answer is a low 11%. Only 11% of dentists think cosmetic dentistry should be its own board-certified specialty. And the reasons they gave, I don't know if you find that surprising or not, but the reasons that are being given are, I guess, the most significant factor. Well, we have the geographic location, and that is that urban dentists were far more likely than their rural colleagues to support board certification for cosmetic dentistry. And then this could suggest that dentists in a more urban area would be more likely to specialize exclusively in cosmetic dentistry. Though rural dentists want to be able to perform cosmetic procedures on their patients still need their general dentistry services as well. And I think that makes sense. Also, most dentists already perform some cosmetic procedures, and survey comments suggest that they don't want to lose their ability to perform these procedures, and they're not eager to jump through the administrative hoops that might be required to get board certification. Here's a quote from a dentist. "We do not need to give the government more money," said a general dentist from California. "Every dentist thinks about cosmetics when delivering any restoration to a patient," an Alaska dentist had had mentioned. "And the ADA needs to open up more areas for specialty consideration, but cosmetic dentistry is not one of them." That was by an unnamed dentist, or I'm sorry, I don't know the state that dentist was from. So, you know, because it's not a specialty, you do have to choose wisely. But and you know what? Why don't we go into more of those comments from dentists when we come back from the break? I do think it's interesting to understand why only 11% said yes. So, remember, our phone number is 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230, WYTS.
Smile a little smile for me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kavitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. And we're talking about the our poll of the day, which is how many dentists by percentage, when polled, thought that cosmetic dentistry should be a special board-certified specialty all of its own. And a couple comments from dentists, or more comments from dentists who responded to this survey. Some were offended at the very idea of cosmetic dentistry as a specialty. Here's a quote. The entire field is subjective, mostly based on market-driven forces and not evidence-based criteria. Making it a specialty is an insult to those of us who endeavor for excellence in our daily activities, said a New York prosthodontist. Commenting on this topic, a Florida dentist said, over-specialization is a surefire ticket to destroying the profession. Just look at medicine. Might have a point there. So, you know, as far as this goes, I mean, I don't know that the public really, really cares. I guess if you know that you've found a great dentist to do great cosmetic work for you, then it probably doesn't matter to you whether it's a specialty or not. It is a little bit buyer beware, though, because you have to just do your homework. Look for befores and afters that were done by that doctor. Now let's talk a little bit about how can aesthetic dentistry enhance your appearance. Keep in mind that the color, size, shape of your teeth all have profound impacts on your appearance. And while it's often the desire of a person to improve their smile, it should be the goal of aesthetic dentistry or cosmetic dentistry to do this while still maintaining that natural appearance of the teeth. And we've talked about that a little bit. This often requires addressing one or all of these criteria. So we have the color, the size, the shape. You have to pay attention to all of them. So how is it that alterations in these three areas or characteristics enhance your smile? Now, color of your teeth, the tooth color is the most common thing that people see first. And as we get older, our teeth get darker. The reasons for this include normal changes that occur within the tooth, repeated insults from environmental conditions, you know, like coffee, tea, I like to say Cheetos, you know, anything with color like orange juice. And generally, the darker teeth are associated with older age. So one of the easiest ways that aesthetic dentistry can correct this is by bleaching. And we talked about that with Dr. Dorfman earlier. But this alone may not entirely create that natural-looking appearance. So then you have to deal with the size and the shape, which are major factors that design, or rather define, the appearance of teeth. The most common cause of changing tooth size and shape over time is tooth wear. And the most common cause of wear is tooth-to-tooth contact or grinding. So, you know, as we get older, we grind our teeth in our sleep. We maybe clench and squeeze them together when we lift weights or run or whatever. And so that's a big, big thing because your teeth now are getting shorter. They're getting more squared off. Also, the loss of tone in our face causes sagging, thereby showing less of our upper teeth and more of the lower teeth. And in aesthetic dentistry, what we try to do is enable more of the teeth to show when you smile. And, of course, that depends on what caused it in the first place. But I know most of the wax-ups that I do, most of the cosmetic trial smiles that I do, are, in essence, lengthening the teeth, bulking them out a little more, and making them more obvious to people around you when you smile. So any treatment that counteracts that sagging skin, the darkening of teeth, the wearing away of teeth from natural causes is going to make you look better. And that's what a makeover is. So hopefully we've given out some good information today, both from Dr. Dorfman and from myself, and maybe you consider yourself now a little bit better prepared to go out and select a cosmetic dentist. I am available for that service. Keep in mind, I'm more than willing to take care of you. The number at my office is 262-9588. Just call and tell them you'd like a cosmetic consultation. It's not even a very expensive procedure. So you are listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 with Dr. Kavitko, and we look forward to having you back with us next week. Have a great week, and tune in next Sunday morning at 9.